apply.
In exchange for truth, you'll get freedom.
Join me, Benito Bergettini, and producer Christine Vessels for The Honest Truth. 8 to 10 p.m. Mondays to Thursdays on Smile 90.4 FM.
Tonight on The Honest Truth, thousands of South Africans are waiting for a life-saving organ transplant. But with less than 1% of the population registered as organ donors, the situation is dire. We speak to Tanya Botma, the first person to receive a lung transplant in Cape Town, about her journey of recovery after receiving the gift of life from a donor. With teen suicides escalating over the past few years, there is a growing concern over the state of mental health amongst teenagers. We ask a specialist in this field how you can support and protect your child. And a livestock carrier, the Galloway Express, currently docked in East London with 2,500 animals on board as cargo, is due to set sail tonight on a torturous 12-day journey across the Indian Ocean for slaughter in Mauritius. The Animal Voice team unpacks this shocking situation.
The Honest Truth with Benito Bergettini on Smile 90.4 FM. Presented in proud association with Brimstone Investment Corporation. Profitability, empowerment, and positive social impact. Smile 90.4 FM. The Honest Truth with Benito Bergettini.
Good evening and welcome to The Conversation, weekday evenings from 8 o'clock. We talk topical and relevant matters affecting us as Cape Townians. The Honest Truth is presented in proud association with Brimstone Investment Corporation. Profitability, empowerment and a positive social impact. This evening, we start off the conversation by chatting to Tanya Botma. Tanya is the first person to receive a lung transplant in Cape Town. And we chat to her this evening about why she needed the operation, the journey, the recovery, and what the operation has afforded her to do now. Mansari Sepake is part of the Animal Voice team, and we talk to her about stop long-distance transport to slaughter, why this is a bad practice, and how the organization, the Animal Voice team, is raising awareness about it. And what can we do? Mansari providing us with some details and context there. Now, June is Blood Donor Month, and we hear from Michelle Vermeulen from the Western Province Blood Transfusion Service. And if you are unsure about what to do to become a donor, stay tuned. Michelle will detail the rather straightforward process. Shiana from the Parent Center joins us before we hear from Dr. Eileen Thomas about young people and the mental challenges they face. We're also in conversation with Barry Christie. Barry provides us with some insights into South Africa's macadamia industry. The Honest Truth, weekday evenings from 8 o'clock, certainly invites you to be a part of the conversation. Lots of ways that you can raise your voice on Twitter, on Facebook, or on the SMS line at 359-904. Feel free to share your remarks, your observations with us and join in the conversation. Now, Tanya Botma's story is unique in more than one way. In the same year, her brother passed away and became an organ donor. Her own life, in fact, was saved by a donor. She's also the first person to receive a lung transplant here in Cape Town. Now, she underwent a bilateral lung transplant towards the end of last year. And prior to the transplant operation, she had a lung function of 400 milliliters, and now it's 2 liters after the transplant. Understandably, she is excited to start this new life and do things with the family that she never knew would be possible. She says that it's difficult to put into words what this procedure and opportunity has meant to me and my family. Never did I think a procedure such as this would become available to me, especially in Cape Town. Earlier this evening, I caught up with Tanya to chat about her journey.
Very well. No, I'm doing very well. I can't even begin to describe how I'm feeling. It's just absolutely amazing.
What was your condition prior to having the lung transplant? What necessitated it?
Well, I had a number of childhood respiratory problems, including meconium aspiration as a neonate and multiple severe viral infections that left me with severe airflow limitations and chronic lung disease. So I was left with 14% lung capacity, and I was advised that the next attack could have been fatal.
I'm assuming you had lived with this condition in your lungs for most of your life prior to the transplant?
Yes, 38 years. I'm 38 now. So yes, 38 years.
And it must have been quite difficult.
It was, but you know what? Your body adapts. It's amazing how your body adapts. I think I actually started thinking that this was normal. And now that I've had the transplant, I see that that was not normal. I was not normal at all. And now I know what it's like to actually breathe and do exercising and just function like a normal human being.
To take the step to have a lung transplant, that must have been quite a process. Are you able to just detail how all of that came about?
Well, I lost my brother last year, tragically. He loved paragliding, and his powered paraglider spiraled out of control. And he was an organ donor, so it was a huge privilege for us to help someone else. And just after that, I was put onto the transplant list. I was given lungs. And what more can I say? It's an absolute miracle.
I'm terribly sorry to hear about your loss, Tanya. How long did you have to wait on the donor's list for the transplant to come through?
Well, not long. Look, at Groeteskier, I was the first double lung transplant patient. So I saw Dr. Greg Gallagaro, Dr. Tim Pennell and the team, I think it was August or September, and then I got the call on the 11th of December.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so it was not long at all.
And being the first patient to receive a double lung transplant, were you nervous at all?
Yes, very nervous, but very positive. I knew it would be a life changer. I was very excited. So when I got the call from Dr. Craig Gallagaro, and he said to me, Tanya, are you sure? I said, yes, I'm sure. Let's do this. So there was no hesitation. There was nothing. I wanted to get on with my life, and I did it for my little girl. I wanted to be able to, you know, do things with her, which I could never do before. So that was the big motivation for me.
How do you feel about the fact that Tanya, your late brother, was an organ donor, and you yourself became the recipient of two lungs?
I think it's absolutely fantastic. You know, it was nice for us. It was, like I said, it was a privilege for us to help someone else in need. It's kind of a gift to one, and at the same time, tremendous pain for another. And there are no words to describe how I'm feeling. I cannot be grateful enough to the donor family. There just aren't enough words. I'm forever grateful. It's an incredible life-changing experience.
And having gone through this life-changing experience, would you encourage others to consider strongly to become organ donors?
Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. I mean, you're giving somebody else another life. You're giving somebody a chance to be able to do things that they never thought possible. I mean, I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would be having a double lung transplant, that I would be able to do what I'm doing now. So, yes, it's a life-changing experience. You're giving somebody an amazing gift. It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle.
How long did the transplant take? How long was the operation?
I was wheeled in at about between 7 and 7:30, and I came out of theatre at 5.
So it was quite a lengthy process.
Quite a lengthy process, yes. Quite a lengthy process, yes.
And the recovery from the operation, how long was your recovery?
Well, it's been 6 months now. I can say that when I came out of theatre, I was in ICU for 7 days, and then I was in a normal ward for 5 days, and then I was sent home. Lots of ups and downs, obviously. I've been to rehab because you obviously need rehab to help you, you know, gain strength and to help you clear your chest, strengthen your diaphragm, teach us how to breathe again. Because it's not a thing of you just come out of surgery and you can breathe. It's not that simple. So, the rehab, the recovery has been quite tough. But, yeah, it's amazing. After 6 months, I'm feeling on top of the world. I can't describe how I'm feeling. It's just absolutely amazing.
It's quite incredible to go through a double lung transplant and essentially you've been in hospital for just 12 days.
12 days, that's it. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you would think it would be months, but not at all. It was 12 days and I was up and about. And, I came home and it was tough, I'm not going to lie. But you have to think of the end result. You have to think of why you've done it. And you keep telling yourself, tomorrow's going to be a better day. Tomorrow's going to be a better day. And here I am. And I am just, like I say, on top of the world. I feel like a new person.
You mentioned it was tough. Can you detail the challenges that you confronted on a daily basis?
Well, you're still very out of breath. You are very, very weak. There's lots of complications, obviously, from the medication. I mean, you drink a hell of a lot of medication. You have about 24 pills in the morning, and you have about 19 pills at night. So your body's got to get used to the immune suppressants. So you, I got sick for the first week about 3 times a day. I got a heart flutter. I got a blood clot. There's just so many things that I had to go through. So every month there was something. So, yeah.
And the rehab itself, you mentioned to me, Tanya, that you had to learn how to breathe again. What was that process like?
It was difficult because, you remember, when we've only got 14% capacity, we're breathing from the top part of our lungs. We're not breathing from our diaphragm at the bottom. So we need to get taught that we need to breathe from the diaphragm. So it's quite a new process for us. It's like, you know, you have to just start breathing again. So that was very difficult for me because I still wanted to breathe from the top. That's how I've been breathing for 38 years. Now I've got to change my breathing pattern, which was very difficult for me. But I'm there. I mean, I can't believe that I'm feeling the way I am. Every day I would think, oh my gosh, am I going to get better? Am I going to get better? And now I'm sitting here and I'm like, sure. It was all so worth it. It was worth it.
This is Smile 90.4 FM and this is The Honest Truth. We are in conversation with Tanya Botma, caught up with her earlier this evening, the first person to undergo a life-changing lung transplant in Cape Town. How are you feeling now? I mean, what are you able to do today that you weren't able to do 6 months ago?
Lots. I'm able to participate with my little girl in her activities. I, for the first time yesterday, jogged on the treadmill, which I have never been able to do. I walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes. I squat. I do lunges. I do weights. I was never able to do any of that prior, pre-transplant. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
What is your daughter's name, Tanya?
Daniela.
And what did Daniela say to you when you got back from hospital?
Oh, shame. She was absolutely fantastic. I have to keep reminding myself that she's only 9 because she helped me. She was compassionate. She was sensitive. She cared for me in a way that was just remarkable. She helped me dress. She helped me wash. She was just my little angel. Honestly, she was just absolutely amazing. And she also, she went through a tough time last year. She lost her uncle. I lost my uncle in February, 4 months before losing my brother, and she was also very close to my uncle. So it was very tough for her, knowing that I'm going to go in for such intense surgery, and we had to sit her down and explain the whole process to her.
Mm.
So she was brave. I am so proud of her. She's a brave little girl. That's all I can say. Absolutely.
She must be so thrilled for you, though.
Oh, she is. Oh, yeah. Now she is. In the beginning, she couldn't understand because there were so many things I couldn't do. When I got home, I was obviously so weak. She couldn't understand that. Being a 9-year-old little girl, getting told that her mommy's getting new lungs, she didn't understand what was taking so long. So she was a bit frustrated in the beginning, saying, yeah, but mommy, you've got new lungs. And I'm saying, yes, Nellie, but, you know, it's going to take time. And now she can see the difference, which is just absolutely awesome.
Your husband, Skulk, how did he manage the process? Because I'm sure he must have been very apprehensive as well, but also wanted to be there, the cornerstone to support you through the process. How did he manage your lung transplant?
Sure, it was tough because he had to do everything for Daniela. He had to do everything for me. And obviously, I had an amazing support structure. I mean, Skulk was absolutely amazing. And then he had his mom come down from Mossel Bay, and he had my mom and dad and his dad. It was tough. He went through a very tough time, especially also losing my brother. You know, he was worried that we were doing the wrong thing. But he was absolutely amazing. I could not have done it without him. I could not have done it without my parents. I could not have done it without my in-laws. I could not have done it without my friends or my doctors. They were all absolutely amazing, really.
And just by what you're sharing this evening, Tanya, I mean, there is absolutely no substitute for family, for love and support.
Absolutely not. No, no, no. There is nothing. Family, friends, doctors, I can't tell you how we need them in our lives. You know, I think we take so many things for granted. And then when you have such a life-changing experience, you just appreciate every little thing, really. Even, you know, my church, Emmanuel, and my little girl's school, they all got involved. And they brought us meals every single evening for, I don't want to lie to you, but it was probably about a month.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was just absolutely amazing to see how many people supported me, how many people prayed, people that I didn't even know were praying for me. It just shows you how amazing the Lord is. I feel privileged. I feel special. I can't tell you how amazing it was. I really can't, and is going to be.
Tanya, are you still going through rehab, or is that part
yes.
of okay? And for
no,
how?
I'm still going for rehab.
Mm.
You will still go for about a year because they've got to help us with exercises. They've got to teach us how we must train, what we must and mustn't do. Because we're still weak. It's a major op. So it's a lot for us to get through. But I want to start gymming on my own now with the help of Sam Holthausen at the Palmer Rehab. It's about a year's process of rehab.
Your thoughts on the doctors and the specialists who helped you and who operated upon you, Tanya?
Yes.
What thoughts do you have about what they did for you and the opportunity that they presented for you and your life going forward?
Well, you know, without this incredible initiative started by Goedeskeer, and the people responsible for this, like Dr. Greg Calagaro, Dr. Tim Pennell, and the awesome team, this life-changing event would never have happened. So I am forever grateful. I can't tell you how amazing these doctors are, how passionate they are. They treat us like family. They don't treat us just like a patient. So without them, this would never have happened, honestly. And then obviously my doctor, my pulmonologist at Panorama, Johan Tron, he introduced me to the team. He introduced me to the lung unit. So if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be sitting here today. Well, I don't think I would be sitting here today. I wouldn't have known about lung transplants, put it that way. But what I would like to say is what makes Goedeskeer so special and different from the rest is it is the first state sector nationally to perform bilateral sequential lung transplants. And that's so important that everybody know that. Because they do double lung transplants, but they only do it at private hospitals in Joburg, well, one private hospital. Whereas here in the Western Cape, they're doing it for the state sector. So that I think is just absolutely fantastic, that we're all given a chance.
And with you being the first one to go through this, does this open the door for other patients to also have this life-changing opportunity?
Oh, definitely. And that's what's so exciting. That people now know that they can get lung transplants, obviously if, you know, severe enough and what the case presents. But just to know that people can actually have a life-changing experience is so exciting. It's just, yeah, it's incredible.
Wonderful, Tanya. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. An incredible journey. And
no, thank you very much.
And I'm so thrilled that it's worked out in this particular way. I mean, wow, as you mentioned, it's an absolute miracle.
No, it is. It's an absolute miracle, and I can't thank everybody enough. Everybody has just been absolutely fantastic, and I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you. I can't mention names, but yeah, thank you to each and every one of you for being there, for supporting me, for edging me on. It's been an incredible journey. Really, it has.
Tanya, thank you so much for being a part of the conversation and for chatting
to us. Oh, not a problem. Can I ask you one huge favor? My little girl would just like to say hello. May she just quickly say hello?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely.
Hold on a second.
Sure.
Hi.
Hello, Danielle. How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm all right. I was just busy chatting to your mom, and she was telling me about the operation that she went through. Are you happy that she's back home?
Yes, definitely.
And what are you doing with her these days? Are you having lots of fun with her?
Yes, we're taking walks to the shops and getting her nice and exercise.
Oh, wow. And it's so great because your mom was telling me that you were very helpful in supporting her through this tough time.
Yes.
You sound like you're a brave little girl, Danielle.
Thank you.
Do you want to send a message to any of your family or your friends?
I just want to say thank you guys for supporting my mom. I really appreciate it.
Oh, Danielle, thank you so much for chatting to us. And any plans for the weekend? Are you going to do something special?
I'm studying for exams.
Oh, it's that time of the year, isn't it?
Yes.
Danielle, I'm sure you're going to do so well with the exams. Keep working hard and keep supporting your mum.
I will. Thank you.
All right. You have a good evening, Danielle.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sweet Danielle, Tanya's daughter. Ending off that conversation here on The Honest Truth, chatting to Tanya Botma, the first person to undergo a life-changing lung transplant in Cape Town. And as Tanya had mentioned in our conversation, certainly her life has changed 180 degrees, certainly life-changing and a breath of fresh air, if I could use that expression. Before the operation, apparently, Dr. Greg Coligaro, a specialist pulmonologist, and Dr. Tim Pennell, a cardiothoracic surgeon, went abroad to learn more about the difficult procedure. According to Dr. Pennell, this is the last of the solid organ transplant that is gaining traction, and it's the hardest because the lungs apparently have a surface area of 70 square meters, and that's about a half a tennis court, so they receive a massive blood supply. He said the fact that lungs were in contact with the outside world also added to the challenge. The barrier to the outside is very thin. Lungs are exposed to all viruses, bacteria, and pathogens, and one has to be very careful how we match the donor and recipient, as infections are common in lung transplants. And he said globally there is a long waiting list for donors. Now, Groteski, where the operation took place, the hospital's chief executive, Dr. Bhavna Patel, who's chatted with us before on The Honest Truth, said it was fantastic that history was repeated at the hospital. The hospital is extremely proud of this achievement as it continues to remain at the cutting edge of clinical care offered to patients and is committed to improvement through innovations such as this.